For almost a year, Nancy Holmes and Cinnamon Blake were neighbors in a homeless encampment in downtown Fresno. But city employees bulldozed their camp a few weeks ago in an effort to rid the city of illegal structures. The two friends and the other residents of their camp scattered.
I didn't particularly care for the patch that Cinnamon found us, but damn, we were safe.
Nancy and Cinnamon ended up on a huge, dusty piece of county land on the west side of Fresno. Nancy is 61, a borderline diabetic with arthritis. She lasted there for about 2 weeks.
You blow your nose in the morning and you got a mud puddle, you know?
Since then, Nancy and Cinnamon have taken separate paths toward survival. I met Nancy last week at a house on Dakota Avenue where she's lived for about a week now. The Dakota Eco Garden, as it's known, is the brainchild of local homeless advocates.
We have a nice big kitchen. She's doing laundry and Brad is here. He has his room.
Currently, two people live inside the home and one is in her tent on a raised platform in the backyard. A fourth is in a small eco-structure designed by architect Art Dyson that generates its own heat and air conditioning. The backyard has a huge fruit and vegetable garden. Homeless activist Nancy Waitlow owns the house.
I have high hopes for the people who live here eating a lot of the food from the garden, lettuce and eggplant and strawberries, I hope, next spring.
After living in a tent for almost a year, Nancy Holmes says she feels saved.
I can take a shower, I can wash my clothes, I can eat food and put my food in the refrigerator, and it's between heaven and hell. Hell is out there in the dirt.
For the first time in years, Nancy finally feels like she's back on solid ground.
I guess you could say living in a motel, you're homeless, but at least you have showers, and we had a little stove to cook on and things like that.
Before she landed on the streets, Nancy moved from motel to motel with her daughter and grandson.
My daughter's a prostitute, and I had food stamps and things that she would pay the rent and I would buy the food.
Years ago, she says, she cooked at area restaurants and hotels and then worked as a security guard at the Fresno Art Museum. She hasn't worked since 2006, when she lost her security job and later had two heart attacks. Today, she says, she's found a new calling. I ask her if she still considers herself homeless.
No, I consider myself a homeless advocate now, someone that's there to help.
She pauses and a smile comes over her face. We're sitting on lawn chairs, and she points toward a flower garden.
Oh, how sweet. Do you see him, the little hummingbird? Yeah. Oh, Cinnamon would love that.
The next day, I join Nancy and two homeless advocates to visit Cinnamon. The dusty field is a stark contrast to the eco-garden. It doesn't look like a hummingbird or a human could survive here.
We're driving on private property next to the railroad and next to the railroad property.
Yeah, and this is like
a big
dist field.
Soon, Nancy spots the makeshift structure that she shared with Cinnamon and her dogs.
I'm just so excited to see Cinnamon. Cinnamon! Cinnamon!
Be cautious of the dogs. Oh, here they come.
Okay, guys, okay. You're fine. Hey, Sheba. I don't care. I always hug her wet.
I'm always sweating or something.
No, she's jumping in the canal or whatever.
Cinnamon had been in the nearby canal and was soaking wet. She met us at her camp, a sprawling structure that's ingeniously made from tarps and other found items. She's built a living room, kitchen, and bedroom.
This was out of view of the freeway and far away from the street. And, there's no, food macs nearby. Is like out of the view of public, which is what the city seems to like be pushing so hard that they don't want to see us.
The location is remote, but it has a huge asset, running water. Cinnamon led us down to the canal. Then she waded into the water to scrub the dust off the fur of her biggest dog, Sheba.
Even if there was a nicer place, like that had grass or, had some other thing going for it that this doesn't, I would pick this over it, because running water is like, yeah, it's life.
Cinnamon says she's been homeless most of her life. She grew up relying on welfare, school lunches, and free snacks from rec centers.
A lot of times I didn't have my own room. There's a lot of memories of blanketless or sheetless bed, a mattress on the floor in the corner of a room, and about 8 or 12 other kids sleeping and sharing that bed.
Why then, I ask her, didn't she want to move into the eco garden with Nancy? One reason, she says, is she couldn't take all of her dogs, who she loves like daughters. She says she values freedom for herself and her dogs.
I didn't raise them like that, to just sit in the corner or wait until I want them to fetch. I raised them to roam around and keep an eye on things and run and, like, be alive, and she don't have the space for that.
To an outsider, it might be tough to see Cinnamon living alone like this. But she says she's less likely to get raped, robbed, or jumped here than in other areas where the homeless stay.
It's safer out here than it is to sleep in the doorway of a business downtown. Or anywhere in town, actually. It's safer here than it is to sleep at Roding Park or Woodward Park or Kearney Park. It's safer here than it is to be at any of the missions.
As we say goodbye, Nancy, Cinnamon, and the homeless advocates point out to me the taller buildings of downtown Fresno. They can make out the women's old encampment.
Their old home.
Where is it?
Straight through the trees.
These tracks lead straight to the
grain silos. Got chased out of.
It was a reminder that these women's homeless journeys could be long from over. With Valley Public Radio, I'm Rebecca Plevin.